You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, we are getting in touch with Pastor Andrew Mkandawira to take us through our deep dive this morning. And we're talking about peacemaking in our personal and professional lives. Today, we want to focus on managing emotions without exploding. Anger, frustration, anxiety, all of these emotions, which are all very real and very human. But when they're left unchecked, they can damage relationships and they can breed hostility, right? So peacemaking doesn't mean avoiding emotions. It means learning to express them healthily and constructively, managing rather than suppressing. That is always the tricky balance that we struggle to find. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Good morning to you too and the listeners.
Thank you for joining us once again. Balancing our emotions versus suppressing our emotions it's going to be a lifelong struggle, I think, for many of us. How can we distinguish between reacting and responding in emotional situations?
Oh, yeah. So the difference is when we are reacting, we are often impulsive.
Right.
And so reacting is immediate. It's unthoughtful. It's not processed. Mm-hmm. It's instinctive, it's impulsive, and it is often negative. Sometimes we can get it right with the reactions, but oftentimes it is often negative because it is not thoughtful. Whereas responding is slower because it is thoughtful and deliberate. Mm. You slow down, calm yourself, and then weigh the situation. When you look at when you consider what is the situation at hand, you respond better. And so responding is often positive because you'll have taken the time to calm your emotions and weigh the situation and then respond to it based on what you have considered to be best options at the moment.
So reacting then is dependent on, it's controlled by the external influences rather than your own thoughtful decision of how you're going to react to a certain situation or respond rather to a certain situation. So it almost feels like when you're reacting, you're like a puppet on a string. Everything around you can control you.
In other words, you're simply failing to manage your emotions.
Yeah.
So the emotions are managing you and making you react.
All right. So what role does self-awareness play in preventing emotional blowouts?
So it helps us recognize emotions. Mm-hmm. Recognizing emotions is extremely helpful for emotional intelligence. You know, when there's stress and anger and a tense situation, you have to be emotionally intelligent mm-hmm. to diffuse the situation.
Right.
And so being self-aware helps us recognize emotions in the first place, which makes us emotionally intelligent. It also helps us improve communication mm-hmm. because we are in a situation where we are with different people, could be one or two, or you have to communicate. And so to communicate in a way that helps diffuse the situation, you need to do it in a manner that is respectful, that is calm, in a manner that takes into consideration the other person. Mm-hmm. So better communication is improved by self-awareness. It also improves our own self-esteem because sometimes our outbursts are a result of our low self-esteem. And, you know, our ego is what is at stake when you have low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And then it also helps build better relationships, stronger relationships. It builds trust because if I understand my emotions, I process them before I speak, and then I speak calmly, respectfully. I build trust in the person that I am in a conflict with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps us build better relationships because we can then build trust with one another.
And how do we communicate? You know, some of our emotions are they're not often well received, maybe not often well expressed. Anger, disappointment, things like that. How do we communicate our anger and our disappointment and our anxieties and frustrations without escalating conflict?
So I think first thing would be to understand self-awareness, understand your emotions. Mm-hmm. So when you understand your emotions, you have to prioritize calmness, the idea of managing the emotion.
Yeah.
So prioritize calmness, be calm, take your time and communicate after processing it. So focus on the issue and not the person. Like, for example, if it is a conflict, a domestic conflict, this person is not going away. You are still going to live with this person. If it is a son or a brother, you are still going to live with this person.
Sure.
So focus on the issue and not the person. Solve the issue. And sometimes it doesn't help to win arguments. Sometimes it's more intelligent to give up, lose the argument for the sake of peace. So focus on the issue and not the person. And then practice active listening and empathy. Because if we are to focus on the issue, we have to understand the issue. So listen well and then respond to the issue and not the person. Mm. And then find common ground. If you can find common ground, find compromises. Because the idea is solve the issue and not win the argument. Mm. So focus on common ground or compromises if you can find them. And then use assertive communication. When you are communicating, make sure that you are well understood and you mean what you say. Mm-hmm. And so be firm, be fair, be respectful, but be assertive as you communicate. You are not happy about this. You are disappointed with this because of this and this and this. And focus on the situation. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, it is all right to agree to disagree. Mm. Sometimes we don't see things from the same perspective. It is important to just be respectful about other people's opinions. So it is all right to just disagree respectfully, agree to disagree. Yeah. We don't see this in the same way, but we can simply say, okay, I respect you and I need you to respect my own opinion and just end there, leave the situation there. Just agree to disagree so that we are respectful and that we retain the peace between or among us.
Yeah. And now when we're trying to keep the peace and, you know, in this effort to prioritize peace rather than winning an argument, sometimes some people can end up just clamming up, shutting down and not expressing themselves at all. So in what way can unspoken emotions sometimes be just as harmful as an outburst?
Oh, yeah, true. And that's why I love the idea of this discussion, managing emotions. Yes. They have to be managed.
Yes.
Because when emotions are not managed and bottled up and not expressed, they end up damaging our mental and physical health. Mm. Like, holding on to some anger could actually result into your developing ulcers. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And so you are angry about something and you're the one who's affected and it makes you sick. And so it is good that when emotions are recognized, are identified, they are well managed. So bottling up is not good because it can lead to mental or physical stress, loss of health. Mm-hmm. It also leads to stress. It is a stress trigger.
Yeah.
The idea of just keeping grudges and it can trigger stress. And almost all the time, it strains relationships. Because if I will not tell you I am angry about something, disappointed with you about something, and I keep it to myself, how I relate with you will change because I have this thing in me. I don't want to share it with you, but I have it. So it's not going away.
Yeah.
So it will control how I relate with you. And so it can lead to strained relationships.
Yeah.
And that means if relationships are not strained, then there is no peace among us. So it is good not to bottle up emotions, but to bring them out respectfully, recognize they are there, and manage them properly. So you save yourself stress and health, and you maintain good relationships.
Yeah, when you're talking earlier, you made me think about that quote. There's something that people say about when you fail to forgive, when you're holding on to a grudge, and I guess it would apply even in this case when we're talking about unspoken emotions. Holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah. You are the one who's suffering when you're holding on to that anger. You're the one who's getting sick. And so what happens then if the other person does not want to, doesn't want that peace? If I am angry and I would like to have a conversation to resolve the situation, but the other person doesn't want, so I'm now left sitting with my anger. Is there a way to release it if there is no dialogue, if the other person doesn't want the dialogue? Is there a way for me to release that anger or to manage that anger outside of necessarily having that one-on-one conversation?
Yes, there are ways we can manage our anger. And so, because we know anger will lead to stress at some point if it's not managed.
Yes.
So we need to identify the triggers. Identify what makes you angry. Why are you disappointed? Why are you angry? So identify the triggers. And so when triggers are identified, simply by identifying them, you can simply identify solutions.
Okay.
And so identify the triggers and identify possible solutions.
Okay.
And communicate better. So better communication is key. With better communication, you have to think before you speak.
Right.
So process your emotions and then be calm and speak before, think before you speak.
Right.
And speak calmly and express yourself in a calm manner, in a respectful manner. And then sometimes it is important to take the time out, like take a break, think more about this, and then, you know, discuss it with those that could help, and then release it later.
Yeah.
The thing is, at all costs, don't hold grudges. It doesn't help you who's holding it. And so release them. Don't hold grudges. And sometimes it is okay to use humor to release tension.
Okay.
Because the idea is, I am the one who's angry. And I'm the one who will benefit from managing my own anger.
Right.
And so sometimes find a way to release the tension. Use humor if it works. But at all cost, make sure you don't hold grudges, but do it respectfully and just release it respectfully.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish we had a time. I'd have loved to read something for you.
Please do.
So this is a letter that is a response to a letter that was written to a marriage therapist.
Okay.
It is. In the book called To Love and to Hold by Nancy Van Pelt. So she quotes this letter, a response that this therapist writes to one of her clients who accused her of always asking people to forgive. And so in her response, she says this she says, don't forgive, don't forget, keep alive every agonizing, torturous detail of the past.
Hey.
Talk about, dream about it, cry a lot, and feel sorry for yourself. Lose weight and look haggard, so friends will worry about you. Build an ulcer, get a migraine, break a leg, anything to create pain and save as a reminder of what the dirty louse did to you.
Yeah.
If you follow this advice, she says, you are sure to end up miserable, sick, bitter, and alone. And this is why it is important that we manage our emotions, release the grudge, and just let go, because it is good. It will benefit you the most than the other person who got you.
That is powerful. That's powerful. Now, I know we're going to talk about forgiveness at some point during the week, but as we're wrapping up for today, what tools or strategies can help us to manage our stress, to manage our anger at work or at home? And I'm really enjoying the fact that you're talking about managing rather than suppressing. I think we can have a little bit of time to touch on that as well. But for now, what tools or strategies can help us to manage stress?
Like we were saying, first of all, find ways to identify the triggers.
Triggers, yeah.
Why are you angry? Mm. What is the reason? What happened? What caused it? So find the reasons, because when a problem is discovered, you are halfway to discovering the solutions.
Solution, yeah.
So find the triggers, the causes, and then identifying the triggers, calm down, think about them, and then communicate about these things, because you want to release the stress, the anger. So you want to manage the emotions at hand. Find a way to communicate what has gone wrong, what has made you angry and disappointed, and do this calmly and respectfully, and express yourself assertively. And the idea really is, since this thing is identified, release it. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold grudges. So it goes back to what we've been talking about over and over. Yeah. And we find these are actually the very strategies, because the idea is to finally just release it and let it go, and the situation is diffused. That is how we do it. When it is identified, take time to calm down and then communicate about it calmly, respectfully, and assertively. And make sure it is all dealt with, no grudges held back, so that you are better, you are released. And I like the idea of using humor. Like, somebody used to tell me, they don't any longer, they have given up on me.
Okay.
So they used to tell me, like, you just heard me giggle just now. Uh-huh. And they told me, my guy, you are always smiling at everything. You're always laughing at everything. And so even when you are talking seriously, you get to laugh in your conversations.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good on you. It makes you think, it makes you look like you're not so sure of what you're doing. But I have realized that that's my humor. I love humor.
Yeah.
And it could be a tense situation, and in my mind, I will find something funny about it, and I will laugh, and then say it, and in the middle of a conversation, and then laugh about it. And so sometimes it's all right to just use humor, because I have realized that the more you laugh, the healthier you feel as you laugh. And so just nice, just use humor. And release the stress, release the tension.
Yeah.
It is good for you.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a very tense situation where the conflict is high, temperatures are high. Then someone comes and starts making jokes. We're going to fight. Don't make jokes when we're serious here. We're not playing here. After you,
Now, the idea here is, you're the one who's upset,
right?
But you're the one who makes the jokes.
Who lightens the area up, who lightens the situation.
Because you're the one who feels the anger. So be the one to make the jokes so that you lighten it up on your own.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And when you're talking about the triggers, I'm thinking to myself, someone is listening and saying, me, I can tell my triggers are my colleagues at work. The solution is stop going to work. Just avoid them altogether. I quit. I'm done. I'm just going to stay home. Because they are triggering me left, right, and center, Pastor. What must I do now?
Wow. Oh, that's a fun one.
We'll get into more of this as the week goes on. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Pastor. I look forward to chatting again tomorrow. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you and all our listeners.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.